as most of you did as well. And yesterday I was here at the office. I came home, just haven't had a lot of time to spend with the kids. And I asked Joshua permission to share this because this involves him. So I came home yesterday and Joshua was there. I came in, I was eating lunch about 2 o'clock, and Joshua said, you know, can we do something? I said, well, why don't you be thinking about what we can do? I'm going to eat my lunch and then I'll come and get you. And so I ate my lunch and I came and got Joshua and I said, I know what we can do. We have to clean the car. So how about you help me with that, and then we'll do this. And we went out and cleaned the car. Joshua had a good attitude about it, got right to work. He's a great worker. And he asked me, he said, well, when we're done with this, the other kids won't be awake from their nap yet, right? So we'll do what we can do. And, well, we worked and worked, and before we knew it, the kids woke up from their nap. And we didn't actually get to do what Joshua wanted to do. He wanted to go play. And so I was thinking about that later last night, and thinking about, you know, I was focused on what I wanted to do, even when I told him, be thinking about what you want to do. And I asked Joshua to forgive me this morning that I was focused so much on myself and what I needed to get done. And we all know things do need to get done. And so we're not saying don't do what needs to get done. But we are saying we want to think about other people before ourselves. And so Joshua forgave me this morning we're going to try to do what Joshua wanted to do today. So I thought, you know, that's a good example of what Jesus is talking about here. We seek first ourselves, don't we? Instead of seeking God first, seeking others first. Imagine if Jesus put his own interests first. Things would be very different, wouldn't they? Our vision, I think, is often clogged with ourselves. With our kingdom, this is our realm, we are the king or we are the queen, we require allegiance, you are here to serve me, you know, that type of thing. What can we get? It's not a new issue. The Bible actually says there's a great struggle between pursuing ourselves and pursuing God, or even pursuing others. And so I'll ask you this morning, what kingdom do you live in? Is it your own kingdom? Or is it God's? Who is on the throne? Is it yourself? Or is it God? We're focused on what we can see, aren't we? Jesus knew that, and that's why he's talking about, what is he talking about? He's talking about eating, drinking, what we're going to wear. You know, we're focused on these physical things that are before our eyes. Some of you wrestle with this. You're consumed with what type of food you eat, the amount of food you eat, the quality of the food, the brand of food. Now, these things are important, right? Food is important. We need food. But I love what Jesus says in verse 25. Is not life more than food? Others, we're focused on clothes. We're concerned about what to wear. How will I look? Is it the right brand name, right? And Jesus says, isn't the body more than clothing? Some of you get up tomorrow, go to school, want to wear maybe some new outfits that you got for Christmas. It's important to be dressed. But in verse 28, Jesus says, why are you anxious about clothing? Jesus really reorients us here, away from ourselves, to his Father. In other words, don't get so caught up on what you can see, but be focused on what you cannot see. He's saying, yes, food is important. Yes, clothing matters. But there is something even more important. There's something that we need to focus on. There's a whole other kingdom. And there's a king. One with eternal value and eternal consequences. So Jesus here calls us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I want to talk about four things this morning that seeking the kingdom informs us to do. First of all, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness informs our posture. Now, when I say posture, some of you are thinking, standing up straight, right? Don't slouch in your chair. And yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our posture is how are we before God? You know, do we hold up our nose at him? Or are we bowing in worship? And the reason we seek is because we have need. If you don't think you need anything, you're not going to look for anything. You might wonder, why do some people not have any interest in God? Well, it's because they don't see their need of him. And need places us in a posture of humility. We were without a car, so we started seeking for one. If your child is missing, you're going to look for them. If you're hungry, you're going to look for food. We were actually created to seek. But we must understand our need first. Look at verse 25. Jesus starts right off by addressing need that people have. Food, drink, and clothes. Basic life needs. But the physical life is not all the needs that we have. We have a spiritual life, spiritual needs. And that's what I want you to take away from today. We can look at all kinds of things that we can see. Oh, it's snowing out. I need snow tires. You know, those are real needs. But there's deeper needs. God is holy, and we have rebelled against him. As one author says, we are corrupt in every part of our nature. He says, the root of your trouble is not what you do, but what you are. It's that you are broken in every aspect. He says, you are debased. And then he says, you are defiled. You failed to meet God's standards. You are not pure. Who can say, I have kept myself pure? That's what the Bible says, right? And then he goes on to say, you are defiant. You've broken God's laws in numerous ways. You've turned away from him. Now, when we hear these things, we ought to be humbled and to say, wow, I'm needy. You know, some people say, oh, Christians, they're just weak because they have all these needs. Yes, we are. Because our strength does not come from ourselves. It comes from God and Christ. Do you see, Joshua asked me the other day, why did God let Adam and Eve sin if he knew that's the choice they were going to make? Oh, well, you have to go to seminary to learn that. Well, that's a good question. But I said what Romans says, maybe God did it to show the riches of his glory. Maybe he did it to show us that we have incredible need before him. That he knew that we would need to come to him. And this is our posture before him. A posture of need. A posture of humility. Number two, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness informs our pursuit. What are we pursuing anyway? We're pursuing two things. And it's in verse 33. Seek first, one, here's number one, the kingdom of God, and number two, his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? Now, I had to look this up to get some help on this, and the source that I looked at summed it up in this way. The kingdom of God is the rule. When we think of a kingdom, we think of there's a king who's ruling. The rule of God given to Christ. Jesus is king. God is breaking in on this world of darkness and evil, this world of oppression, this world of bondage, and bringing, what does he bring in his kingdom? He brings freedom. He brings forgiveness. He brings life. He brings righteousness. And Jesus has come to defeat the power of the enemy. Jesus has come to overwhelm evil, to crush it, to do away with sin. This is the kingdom that God brings. He has come to gain victory. This kingdom is one where justice prevails, where righteousness prevails, where truth is trumpeted and known, where people are valued and loved, where evil is punished, where the lost are saved. This is the kingdom that has broken in on the world. Now, they made a good point. They said, Jesus has come to take the kingdom of the world and make it his. It's not, he has not come to deal with this kingdom and that kingdom and this kingdom. There's only one kingdom. And Jesus has come to take it. And it's a kingdom that is eternal, a kingdom that's already here. But it's also not yet fully here, is it? The already not yet tension. That's the first thing we are seeking. Seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, seek first his righteousness. Why did Jesus say these two things together? Why didn't he just say, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you? It seems like that would be more simple, easier to understand, easier to remember. No, he adds, seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. He said that because we often seek our own righteousness. We try to make ourselves a better person. And I will caution you with New Year's resolutions, because I know this happens every year and you do too. We start off strong, even though I'm only 3 days behind, and then we get discouraged. I can't do it again. I can't do it. I want you to be encouraged when you can't do it. Do you know why? Because you know that you cannot be righteous on your own. We can't do anything without God's help. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Rob brought up John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you are the branches. So if we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, well, this year I'm going to do it. We're going to do it all the way. Well, that's a great goal to have. But is God in it? It's not a do better. You better read your Bible more. You better pray more. You better, you know, get things right. Resolution, resolve. It's good to have a resolve, but we don't have the power to be righteous. This is why we seek his righteousness. We can't clean ourselves. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one who's righteous. He is the only one who can take away our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? Here's the second part of the verse. So that we might become the righteousness of God. So God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we could become righteousness, the righteousness of God. It's only through Christ. So seeking first his righteousness means seeking first Jesus. Point number three, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness informs our priorities. Why didn't Jesus just say, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? There's a little word in there. First. There is an order. God has an order to his creation. Why didn't he create humans first and then create the world? Why didn't he create humans who are just kind of floating out in space and, oh, I'll make a world for them to live on? You probably have never thought about that. And I hadn't either till right now. But there is an order. God had a plan, right? He first put the kingdom and then he put the kings, or the people, to be in the kingdom. If the power goes out at night, what are you going to do first?
Oh, I guess I better take a shower, right?
Can't get up and go around without having a shower. No, of course not. You're going to get a light. You're going to get a flashlight or pull out your lighter or a candle or whatever. Maybe you'll go hook up the generator. We have priorities, don't we? There are things that we do first. And we are faced with priorities every day. It's a conscious choice based on your need. So if you know that you have need for God, then you will seek first His kingdom. It will be a conscious choice based on your need. If I told you tomorrow is your last day to live, I guarantee you would live with priority. And you would think about, all right, what do I need to do first? Jesus is saying there are priorities in the Christian life. And the first priority is seeking His kingdom. It's a new mindset, new actions. How can you put God first? Well, some practical ways, and there are so many more, but here's just a few. If you are prone to complaining and prone to grumbling, oh, it's snowing out, or, you know, whatever it might be, ask God, God, give me a thankful heart. If you are prone to being consumed by what you want, ask God, God, what do you want for me? Instead of trying to figure out things on your own, seek His wisdom and counsel from other godly people. Instead of God getting the leftovers, oh, well, God, I'll just give you the whatever I have left. And so we could say this in a few different ways. First of all, we could say, God, I'll give you the time that I have left over. So I want to pray, or I want to read your word, but all these other things are happening, so I'll just, when I get in bed, and if I'm still have a little energy, then I'll spend time with you. Instead of that, give Him your best time, the time that you're most awake, most aware. We could talk about that in terms of energy, too. We could talk about it in terms of money, too, right? I'll just give you, God, the leftovers. Give Him the best. Finally, last point, number four, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness informs our perseverance. I want you to think about this for a minute. If you're playing hide and seek and you find the person, guess what? The game's over. But that's not this kind of seeking. This kind of seeking is if you're digging in your backyard and you find a little gold. And you start rubbing at the piece of gold, that's a big one, and there's more and more. And you keep digging, and you keep seeking. You wonder, I wonder if my whole backyard is like a gold mine. And you just keep going. That's what seeking the kingdom is like. Someone said the form of the verb here is can be interpreted, be constantly seeking. Or as one person said, a strenuous effort to obtain. So it's more like mining, where you find a little and you dig more, and you find some more. And the more you find, the more you realize you need. And so you keep pursuing it. Some of you are very persistent about what you need. May you be that way about seeking the kingdom of God. Some of you have vigor, purpose, resolve. May we have that same vigor, purpose, and resolve about the kingdom of God and His righteousness. One person said, it's like a tree. If you think about it, I never thought about this before. A tree, it just looks like it's out there. You can look outside and see a tree. It just looks like it's sitting there or standing there or rooted there. It's not doing anything. The tree is actually dependent on air, on sun, on the soil, on rain. So it's dependent. But the tree is also active. And I didn't realize this, but One person studied a tree and figured out how much work it was doing each day to make the minerals and the water go up its trunk. They said it would be like you holding two full buckets of water, going up a flight of 10 feet of stairs, 300 buckets worth in one day. That's how much work a tree is doing. I talked to Mike Cunningham the other day. He said, I'm going to try, you know, I heard the sugar content in a tree is the highest further up the tree. And so I'm going to try tapping the tree 18 feet off the ground. And I said, Mike, how are you going to do that? Well, I'll have to get up there and then run a line down. Trees are at work. Trees are not just sitting out there. They're active. And what a great picture of, for us, seeking first the kingdom. It's not, we're not just saying, okay, God, feed me, feed me. There's action involved, right? So how do we seek first? Where is the power? Where is the motivation? Where is the desire? It's not just adding resolutions. Well, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. How do we do this? This is what we'll end with. How do we do this? There's one answer. It is by God's grace through faith. Faith is a gift of God. And God graciously changes us by His Word, by His Spirit. How do you think I realized what I had done with Joshua yesterday? I'm sitting down in the evening, I'm writing out the sermon, and God brings to mind, He's sanctifying me. He's working in my heart saying, you were selfish. You put your needs in front of His. And so that's God's grace to me. Thank you, God, for showing me. Thank you that I can ask Joshua to forgive me. Thank you that he forgives me. Thank you that we can start again. See, God breaks the power of our sin that reigns in us. He gives us power to die unto sin, to live unto righteousness. So my question to you is, will you spend this year on temporary trifles that you can see, being concerned about all these things that you can see? Or will you really live? Isn't life more than food, Jesus says? Isn't it more than clothing? See, if you seek first the kingdom, God knows what you need. He'll take care of those needs. He knew we needed a car. There are times we've stressed out about it. It was unnecessary. God provided. Ask Him to enable you to seek first His kingdom this year. Ask Him to impress upon your heart, God, I want to give you time. Ask Him to do His work of grace in you, to change your desires. That you would even remember Him before you go on to other things. Let's follow the words of Jesus to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you will be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who made it possible to seek first your kingdom. Because often we seek last your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord. We thank you that you forgive us. Thank you for your grace. Lord, may this year be a year of seeking your righteousness, seeking your kingdom first, that it would be a priority in our lives. We're excited to see what you can do, what you will do in us. So work your grace through faith in us this year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.